cannot look anybody else face. Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Jesse Hall isn't joining me on this episode. Hopefully he'll be there for the next episode, which is a Packers playoff preview. Yeah, the Packers made the playoffs. With a 9-8 record, they ended up as the 7th seed in the NFC, just snuck in there. The Seahawks and the Saints both had 9-8 records, and the Packers held the tiebreaker, evident with the Saints because they have the head-to-head win against them. And yeah, fortunate enough, the Packers had that tiebreaker so that they could play a win and in game against the Bears in Week 18. And sure enough, the Packers came out and had maybe their best defensive game of the season. I think they're maybe offensively, they did some really good things too. Only put up 17 points, but got the win 17-9. The defense had been struggling. And I think the one thing that really struck me in this game was especially the defensive line and the front pressure. How everyone seemed to be just beating their blocks and putting pressure on the QB. Tough to blame Fields on this loss entirely. He was under pressure seemingly every snap. And when he was able to make plays, it's because he was doing it in spite of his offensive line. But, you know, Kenny Clark had an amazing game. He always seemed to have his best games against the Bears. So that, no surprise there. Preston Smith, you know, Lucas Van Ness even got a sack. Rashawn Gary, of course, constantly putting pressure. Brooks got, like, he was having maybe his best game of his career too. Devontae Wyatt got in on the action. Everyone was producing pressure. And so that was the one thing that really impressed me the most, was that this defense had been struggling of late, probably had their worst month of the season this last month. And, you know, they knew they had to win this game to be in, and sure enough, they showed up and did it. So hopefully that this is what we saw in December was more a blip on the radar. Jaire Alexander's back on the team now. So hopefully everyone's healthy enough and able to play in the playoff game. But certainly a great win for the Packers here in front of the home crowd. Sweep the Bears this year. That's nice. And the one thing that since player age was being tracked, since 1978, no team as young as the Packers has ever made the playoffs. Until the 2023 Packers, the youngest team to ever be in the playoffs, since, again, player age has been tracked. So, I mean, that's, or at least until since those stats have been made available. So kudos to the Packers with such a young team. Jordan Love in his first year as a starter. This was meant to be a year to see, can he be the guy? And I think he proved it by making the playoffs in year one. Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers didn't do that. I know everyone's so, all right, good. We have a third Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm not crowning Jordan Love as a Hall of Famer yet. But he came out in his first year was better than what Rodgers and Favre were able to do, specifically with the wins. But also, I mean, he had 4,000 yards passing, over 30 touchdowns. I mean, this is even, I think, people's highest projections of Jordan Love probably wouldn't have had this picture. Yeah, I mean, I think Jordan Love has proven me wrong. I guess that's where we'll start, is saying how wrong I am, because I did not expect the Packers to make the playoffs. In fact, actually, you know, for those follow me on Twitter, I shared a thread of my playoff preseason predictions and where I was wrong, where I was right. Really. And then, you know, the big thing I was wrong about in the NFC was I had the Packers missing the playoffs. I had the Vikings actually winning the NFC North. And I was wrong with that. The Vikings didn't make the playoffs either. I think I actually correctly predicted 5 of the 7 NFC teams to be in the playoffs. I didn't have the Lions winning the division. Call me crazy. I just didn't expect them to suddenly win a division for the first time in ever, but they did. I still don't expect them to do much in the playoffs, though. But I did think that the Lions were good enough to probably be in the playoffs. So I was right about that. I actually had the Rams rebounding, getting back to the playoffs this year. So I was also right about that. Both the Cowboys and Eagles, 49ers. I think the 49ers are the only division winner I correctly predicted. So on the division winners, not so good, but on who made it in the playoffs, the only two NFC teams I got wrong were the Packers. And I actually thought the Saints would win the South. The Bucks ended up winning. So that's where I was wrong. I was a bit, still had some things right in the AFC. I had the Bills and the Chiefs and the Ravens. I had all three of those teams winning their divisions, so I was right about all that. I actually had the Browns in the playoffs as a wild card team, so also right about that. Now, I thought Aaron Rodgers with the Jets would make the playoffs. I'm wrong there. I thought the Bengals would make the playoffs. Not, I mean, that's, I think everyone kind of thought that too. And, Joe Burrow being hurt so much this year certainly impacted that. Although Jake Browning did play well in his absence, but big factor there. And then trying to think of the final team. Oh, yeah, I thought the Jags would win the South. So I was wrong about that division winner. The Texans made it instead, won there. The Dolphins got in as a wild card, and the Steelers got in as a wild card. So one prediction I said was three AFC North teams would make the playoffs. I was correct about that. Five North teams actually ended up making it altogether. So now that I've again talked about how wrong I was about the Packers this year and how I was wrong thinking the Packers would miss the playoffs, I'm incredibly happy to be wrong about that and say the Packers are in fact in the playoffs. Not to say that this team is not without mistakes, and I think the mistakes clear in this Bears game. That first drive the Packers had, I mean, they came away with 0 points, and yet they might have probably even should have got a touchdown. Jordan Love threw a ball to Romeo Dubs in the end zone. Looked like Dubs actually caught it and then dropped it at the end. He probably should have had that as a touchdown. Didn't though. So mistake there. And then Anders Carlson misses the 41-yard field goal. And if the Bears had mustered any more points, then like if they actually had to score a touchdown, for instance, that might have come into play certainly. Thankfully it didn't, but whereas I thought the defense, they held the Bears out of the end zone the entire game. I thought the offense was maybe making some uncharacteristic mistakes. Dubs actually got injured on that play, as mentioned, and left the game. He actually had to leave to the hospital to be evaluated. Chest injuries, man. Like something about these Packers receivers and chest injuries. They're all dealing with them, apparently. So we'll see about his availability coming up in the wild card round. But, Luke Getsy, man, we talked about it on the preview, but my God, this was awful. Like you had all season, all of last year too, to work on this. And there was a play where Rashawn Gary was being blocked one-on-one, not by a tight end even, not even by what should happen with Rashawn Gary being blocked one-on-one by a tackle, whether it's right tackle or left tackle. I mean, okay, occasionally you'll overload things and blitz, and then, oh, suddenly Gary has to be blocked by a tight end. But they actually blocked Rashawn Gary one-on-one with Trent Taylor, pretty small wide receiver, small slot wide receiver. Like, what are we doing, Luke Getsy? This reiterates my point I made in the last episode. If Luke Getsy is fired by the Bears, which he should be, I don't want him on the Packers. I don't want him anywhere near Jordan Love. QB coach, none of that. A random defensive assistant, no thank you. Like, Luke Getsy, my goodness, your offense is atrocious. The way it's designed, the schemes he makes. I know Jesse made the comparison in the last episode. Oh, it's kind of like Joe Barry. This is way beyond Joe Barry. Like Joe Barry, there's at least redeeming things about the team. We talked about it all year, the creative use of Kenny Clark. Not just having Kenny Clark play as defensive tackle, playing him as defensive end, but still allowing him to not have to play against tackles either, because that was the one weakness of that. I've noticed a lot this year, a lot more than ever before. He's playing one-on-one against the team's offensive tackles, and sometimes that's team's left tackle, their best offensive lineman. So you'd love to mismatch Kenny Clark and get him on teams, their worst starting offensive lineman, for instance. One of the ways that Barry was actually able to do that was run a lot of stunts. And I know I think Romo mentioned it during the broadcast. The Packers ran the most stunts out of anyone in the league this year. So I'll give Joe Barry his credit. The way he manufactures pressure, designs pressure, designs plays to help these defensive linemen get pressure. He deserves credit for that. His zone coverage scheme, atrocious. Even again, there was a play in this game where DJ Moore is being covered by Quay Walker. What are we doing? That should never happen. It happens far too often, though. So Luke Getsy should be gone with the Bears. I think Joe Barry should be gone with the Packers, but now they just made the playoffs, so maybe. Would it almost have been better if they didn't make the playoffs and they could get rid of Joe Barry? Now are they going to use that to justify keeping him? I don't know. I don't like this at all. Ooh, CD Lamb plays in the slot. Guess we're going to see him covered by Quay Walker. Oh, boy. That's for next week, though. We can celebrate the victory and the fact that the Packers are in the playoffs. Let's concentrate on the positives. I think some positives in this game, though, just overall, there were no penalties, no flags thrown in the first three quarters of the game. It took 13 minutes left in the game for the first penalty to be called, penalty flag, and even then, the penalty was declined. So, like that's 47 minutes of football play without a penalty, which that kudos to the Bears, but also the Packers, because discipline has been a problem this year. I think the Packers had one flag the entire game, and it came halfway through the fourth quarter. So they literally went through 3.5 quarters of football without getting flagged. So that's major kudos. And it was an offside call on Rashawn Gary. He's trying to time the snap. Honestly, those are the penalties. Now, unfortunately, it resulted in a first down. So the situation wasn't great. There was, third and short or fourth and short, and it gave the Bears a free first down. But the one thing I'll say is those are the types of penalties you don't mind taking, right? It's okay, Gary's trying to time the snap and he just happens to go offside. Like you let your edge rushers do things like that. If Kenny Clark as well, those elite edge rushers, if they happen to go offside, it's not a big deal. It's not like some of these inexplicable delay of game penalties or the constant pre-snap penalties by the offense. I suppose a false start and an offside don't seem that much different, but there's a lot of unnecessary forced penalties that shouldn't have happened. An offside call on an edge rusher, those are penalties. You don't see them as unforced, a massive mistake. But yeah, discipline, incredible. That's probably going to be needed for them to win in the playoffs. So let's keep going with that. But I guess the last comment I'll make is I think they ended the game with 5 sacks and 5 tackles for loss. The Bears just constant negative plays because the offensive line couldn't protect. Their best offensive lineman is arguably Nate Davis at guard. Now the rookie right tackle, Darnell Wright, he looks good too, and he'll I think eventually become their best offensive lineman. But the free agent signing from the Titans, Nate Davis, actually looked pretty good throughout the year. He left this game with an injury, and suddenly this offensive line got even worse. So that was definitely a problem for the Bears, and the Packers really exploited it. Now, the ne very next game the Packers are playing is against the Cowboys, one of the stronger offensive lines in the league. They've got arguably the best guard in the league in Zach Martin. Love for Elgton Jenkins to take that title away from him someday, and he might. But for now, Zach Martin is still the gold standard of an offensive guard in the NFL. So this will not be as easy to get pressure. So all this praise for Joe Barry to design these players to get the pressure. Now it's really going to be put to the test here. But all to say, kudos to the Packers making the playoffs, beating the Bears 17-9, regular season finale, not allowing a touchdown. That's I think the true praise here does belong to the defense. They end with a 9-8 record. Yes, there were some losses they probably shouldn't have had this year. Raiders, Giants, pretty bad teams, especially Raiders with McDaniels as coach and Garoppolo at quarterback, like not the current version of the Raiders. But those losses didn't matter in the sense that they didn't prevent the Packers from getting to the playoffs. So one of the things I wanted to do is just take a look back on this season and referenced a couple games already earlier. I jumped the gun there a little, but again, this was referenced last week, but the sort of full circle nature to the schedule, starting and ending with the Bears game. Guess what? They won both. Still haven't scored as many points as they did week one against the Bears. 38 is still the most that they have scored. They have a couple of 30-point performances in November, but yeah, the offense. It's funny how the offense, it seemed like that game was more the Bears played bad on defense. They were just an awful defensive unit, and then they turned it around. I know Carlos Nazario, our full press coverage Bears managing editor, in last week, in our previous episode, which I again recommend people go check out. He outlined a lot of that, the changes that were made play calling wise for the Bears, but also personnel, getting Montez Sweat, how that changed their defense entirely. So that 38 points, it's still the most they've scored, but I don't think it was the best game the Packers played on offense. I think that was just how bad the Bears were. But then, things like Now, again, we talked about the losses they shouldn't have had. They had a 12-point lead against the Falcons with a minute to go in the third quarter, and they blew it and lost 25-24. Now, they also won by 1 point against the Saints after they held a 17-0 lead that they blew. So you take those two games back-to-back, and you think, you know what? It would have been nice to be 3-0, but they could have just as easily been 1-2 instead of 2-1. But then the streak. The longest streak this year for the Packers, hopefully. Or no, not hopefully. Hopefully they go on a 5-game win streak, starting with the previous 3 wins and at least 2 more wins now. I guess we want that to be a 7-game win streak. But during the regular season, the longest streak they had was around the bye week. They lost the 2 games before the bye week and the 2 games after the bye week, losing to the Lions and the Raiders, then losing to the Broncos and then Vikings. And they failed to eclipse 20 points. They scored exactly 20 against the Lions, but they also gave up a season high 34 points. So that's not, 20 points there, not nearly enough. But then, scoring 13 against the Raiders, 17 against the Broncos, and then a season low 10 points against the Vikings. That might honestly have been the low point of the season. I remember up to that point, the Vikings run offense, the rushing offense, especially near the goal line, was brutal, atrocious, one of the worst, maybe the worst in the league. They had not yet had a rushing touchdown, like at all, a single inside the five as well, but they hadn't had a single rushing touchdown. And this is week 8. And yet they scored a rushing touchdown that game against the Packers. So things like that were really bad trends. Now they rebounded with a great win against the Rams. The Rams also had Brett Rypien at quarterback. So, of course, they crushed them 20-3. The Rams literally couldn't do anything on offense. So they absolutely had to get that win. But then things started to turn around. And it did, start with a loss. And they were 3-6 after losing to the Steelers. But I felt that was the game where things turned around. Jordan Love, something clicked that game. And actually, it was the most yards they had up to that point. 399 total yards of offense was the most they had up until the last couple games where they've eclipsed 400. But I felt even though they lost, I thought Jordan Love really turned the corner himself. Like that's where I started to believe in Jordan Love. Up to that point, the 3 wins, I didn't really see enough from Jordan Love. Again, they crushed the Bears, but that was maybe arguably the worst defense in the league to start the year. So I didn't necessarily have a ton of faith there. But that Steelers game, that to me really was the turnaround where Love started not just completing passes, but completing accurate passes in difficult situations. He was making good decisions, though. He wasn't being unnecessarily reckless. But the inconsistent accuracy really started to turn more towards accuracy and just being consistent with his accuracy in that game. And then they went and they won the next 3. And so that was really 4 games in a row, including I lost the Steelers, where I thought Jordan Love really took it upon himself to be that guy. They beat the Chargers, but then went and beat the Lions in Detroit. Gotta love doing that. And then finally beating the Chiefs. Full circle, the first team he started against a couple years ago. Well, they lost to the Giants on Monday Night Football. That was not so fun watching that. Again, and to Jordan Love's credit, they were down. They needed a field goal drive in the fourth quarter. He provided that. He got them in field goal range. They get the lead, 22-21, but then the defense, with less than a minute left, just collapses and allows the Giants to do the same. The Buccaneers, they allowed 34 points, which is the season high. They allowed that against the Lions in week 4. And then 34 points allowed to the Buccaneers in week 15. I think that was the worst the defense had played all year. And now, Baker Mayfield had maybe a career game, one of the best, if not the best game in his career there. And then they go in and they allow Bryce Young, who had just struggled all year as the first overall pick, to put up 30 points. What do? He put up, I guess he still didn't put up 300 passing yards, 298, but it looked like Bryce Young's best game. Now, luckily, the Packers offense did enough. They scored 33 for the first time since week 1. They got to that 30-point plateau. Actually scored 33 against the Panthers in week 16 and then 33 against the Vikings week 17. And then beat the Bears. Only needed 17 points there, but 19 points allowed over the past 2 weeks to the Vikings and the Bears. Now, the Vikings, they started Jaren Hall for the first half, which seemed like a huge mistake. He was really not that capable. Nick Mullins didn't look great, but did enough to get them 10 points. They only allow 9 points to Justin Fields, who has made strides of late and looks like a true franchise quarterback. I thought that was incredibly impressive. So at least the defense looks like they've rebounded off of, these last two games, but certainly this last game I think is incredibly impressive considering the quality of quarterback that they faced. Through those ups and downs, they've found a way into the playoffs. And what are they on? They've won 6 of the last 8 games. And again, 3 in a row, hoping to make it 4 in a row with Dallas. Then we'll see from there. Although, if they beat the Cowboys, we already know who their next opponent would be the 49ers. So it's you get the Jordan Love, you get the classic playoff matchup experiences right off the get-go. Going to Jerry World, a place Aaron Rodgers loved to play, won a Super Bowl there, beat the Cowboys a lot in the playoffs there. Jordan Love's not Aaron Rodgers, but this is maybe that first real test to show that he can become a semblance of Aaron Rodgers. He's a good quarterback now. And I think the conversation to me has shifted from, okay, he's got 2 seasons to prove it to, yeah, they really should just extend him in the offseason. I've totally flipped to that mentality. Again, I was wrong, right? I didn't have much faith in him. I was wrong. And I'm happy to he stay here, sit here today and say that I was wrong. I did not expect the Packers to be in the playoffs, yet here they are, about to play the Cowboys in a wild card playoff matchup. Regardless of, hey, 6 seed, 7 seed, we know it as Packers fans. Their last Super Bowl win was as a 6 seed. So anything can happen when you get into the dance. All that was important was getting there. And Jordan Love managed to do that. So mission accomplished in that regard. It doesn't seem like the moment's too big for him. So this is this is fun. The new head coach with Matt LaFleur versus the old head coach and Mike McCarthy. Can that be just a fun way to dig it to McCarthy one last time? I mean, hey, McCarthy won the Packers a Super Bowl in this same building he's about to play in and potentially lose to the Packers in the playoffs. We'll find out. But yeah, as I mentioned, Jesse and I will preview this game more in detail on the next episode. But just wanted to not only react to this Bears win in Week 18, but the season as a whole, just taking back and looking at what actually occurred. Again, the ups and downs. It's funny that it really has been a streaky season. So the first 3 games, they were a win, loss, win, but then losing 4 straight. You had the one random game with the Rams and then the one random loss to Steelers, then a 3-game win streak, a 2-game losing streak, then another 3-game winning streak. So hoping that the streaking continues. Again, with a win here, because obviously if they lose, then the winning streak's over. And yeah, well, I guess we'll have to find out later on in this weekend what's going to occur in that game. I believe, yeah, everything's been announced in terms of the full schedule. So the Packers will play on Sunday, January 14th. It's the middle afternoon game, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. So I guess the later afternoon for us on the Eastern folks, 3:30 Central. That's middle afternoon for the Green Bay local fans. But yeah, up against the Cowboys, Cowboys Packers on Fox, and they're America's game of the week, of course. It happens all the time, right? Although it didn't really happen much this year. I guess America's game of the week didn't have so much faith in Jordan Love, kind of like me, but proven wrong. And now, I guess one thing I was seeing on Twitter is that Fox still owes Jordan Love that turkey from the Thanksgiving game. So maybe they provide it here. Who knows? But yes, great season for the Packers. 9-8, maybe not a great record, but it's enough to make the playoffs, and that's what makes it great. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter at FPC_Packers. I already mentioned my X account, which is @SenraSays for my personal account for anyone who wants to follow all the crazy things I say. Jesse's also at Hall_JHall1212. We really appreciate everyone who listened throughout this season and previous seasons as well. Appreciate all that support you've given us. Now the Packers are in the playoffs, we'll at least provide some playoff episodes throughout. We'll certainly go as long as the Packers go, and even then even if the Packers are eliminated, we'll probably still do at the very least a Super Bowl preview. But yeah, not thinking about Packers being eliminated right now. I'm thinking about the fact that the Packers are still alive, that a bunch of teams that didn't make the playoffs are out, but the Packers are not one of them. They're in the dance. And do want to shout out and show my appreciation for PA the Second, who is on X at PA_II official. Follow him on all his other social media accounts as well. He lets us use the song Bad Boy Outside as our intro and outro music. And the Green Bay Packers, especially the defense, they were certainly the bad boys there in a good way. They played good football. They played great football. Again, they didn't allow the Bears to score a single touchdown. So that's pretty great. If you can do that, hold the team out of the end zone. That's usually a really good sign defensively. And outside in the cold Lambeau as the seventh seed, the Packers aren't going to host any playoff games. So the last game of this season at Lambeau, the Packers went out with a win with probably their best defensive performance of the season. So yeah, they certainly were the bad boys outside, but again, PA the second lets us use that song Bad Boy Outside as our intro and outro music. He also released an EP late last year. Illa U, also encourage people to go check that out. ILLAH and the letter U, his fifth installment of the Illa project. Illa XYZ or Z for Americans. And I guess everyone else. I don't know if it's just Canada that says Zed, but yeah, XYZ Illa albums were released a few years ago, Illa V just a couple years ago, and now Illa U, the latest installment. But this goes out to you, Packers, and Jordan Love, and I'll end the episode as I started, saying I was wrong. We'll see. Now I'm kind of thinking they'll beat the Cowboys, so I'm guessing, I hope that the me being wrong ends, and that I hope I'm right about that. Packers in Jerry World, it feels right. But I guess we'll find out, not on the next episode, we'll find out this, but we'll talk more about this upcoming Packers-Cowboys game on the next episode. Full Press Packers Pod.